You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, will be here for hour number two.
He has a new
column.
What do you think we're
going to
talk about?
Yeah, he's got a new column in the Recombob area, and it's making some waves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should Governor Evers run for a third term? We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Dan Schaefer will be joining us after the 10 o'clock news. We will talk about his latest column. If you don't subscribe, I highly encourage you to do so. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty inexpensive.
It's very expensive, and you're getting multi-award-winning journalism, opinion columns. It's great.
It is great.
Like I've said before, if they never won an award before this year, they'd still be a multi-award because they won like four or five this year.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. So, yep, Dan Schaefer joining us in hour number two. Also in hour number two, as we tend to do after the 10:30 news.
It's a good rhyme.
We like to do a little audio sorbet segment. Ooh. It's what we call it anyway. It's a chance to get away from the news and take a breath and just talk about the sillier things.
Yeah.
Lighter things. Mm-hmm. Whether or not this is going to be light or not, because you and Calvin got into it pretty good, last week? I think we were talking about this off the air. Yeah. Today's audio sorbet will be day versus night weddings.
Yeah.
When should we be celebrating weddings?
Yeah.
Daytime only, according to one person that's sitting across from me, or at nighttime, according to the person sitting in the producer's booth. Day versus night weddings. That's audio sorbet after 10:30, and we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing around 10:51 today. It's the You Dirty Rat edition. Stay tuned for that. There's a visual element as well. Today is the final day of our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. So be listening after 11 o'clock for the keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app, and then you'll be in the running either for a hot $100 cash, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets, and then everyone who enters in the drawing for one of two grand prize trips, either a getaway to Door County or Baraboo, and gas money to get you there. 11 o'clock, 2 yes. o'clock, mm-hmm. 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Your last shots today. This is the last day of the contest. Yep. You could be a winner, just like Rhonda in Madison. Listening on WMDX, Dave, who is streaming on WRJN here in Racine, and Colleen, also a winner, listening on WPFP.
Ooh.
So be ready for that keyword coming up after 11 o'clock. Listen for our voices.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the Tom Hartman Show. Statewide, text to win, Scani Summer Contest.
And then when that all wraps up, we're going to go back to free ticket Fridays. So don't go anywhere.
With Brewers tickets. Exactly. And those are four packs. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. This, we did want to start off with this because, wow, this is quite a reversal. Donald Trump yesterday in a press conference, our president said this, quote, "Our great farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good long-time workers away from them, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace. In many cases, the criminals allowed into our country by the very stupid Biden administration are applying for those jobs. This is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the USA. Changes are coming." Okay. Obviously, we're talking about the immigration crackdown, mass deportations now.
Yep,
that's what he campaigned on. They had big signs at the nomination here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Mass deportations now.
They wanted to get rid of all the criminals, get rid of all the murders, get rid of all the what you think immigrants are when Yes, get rid of the criminals. Fine. No one is against that. If they're get rid of them. Cool. But the problem is that people who are here legally, people who have done the work, people who have done it
and are even people who are currently in the process of applying for permanent status, they're showing up at their court hearings in some instances.
Yeah.
The judge is dismissing the case. They walk outside and they get arrested.
I mean,
they are trying to use the process that we have in place.
Yeah. We've said this before, and the battle cry from the right has always been, well, if you just did it the right way, if you just did it the legal way, people are.
Yes.
And I'm thinking actually of like the students who are here on student visas who all of a sudden had their visas pulled for no reason. There's no explanation. The universities couldn't tell these. I have a friend who's here on a student visa getting their PhD. And the look on her face when I saw her the day after was white as a sheet.
I bet.
Because she had no idea what was going on. The university couldn't tell her anything. She was getting no answers from the government. But she's here legally. She's got a visa. She's paying all the taxes she needs. She's doing exactly what you said they need to do. And they're still getting rid of these individuals. People who are protected by the courts. People who they want to throw immigrants from Britain and France into Guantanamo Bay. So how are they going to make that distinction? What are they going to do?
Well, and that's the big concern is that these arrests seem to be happening pretty willy-nilly with a lack of evidence, say that the people that they're grabbing are criminals.
Yeah.
And what really amazes me about all of this, Project 2025 and the Trump people have been working on this for more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the mass deportations now, they've been working on this for a long time. This was a pillar of the campaign.
Well, yeah.
It never crossed anybody's mind that this would have an impact on industries in the United States, like our farmers, like hospitality, like healthcare aides. Nobody, that never came up in 2 years. And I go back to again, does no one in this administration play things out to the end?
No, I don't think they do. Or they just, I believe they think that the people are going to love it so much or just accept it. And there won't be protest. There won't be blowback. There won't be apparently. And also, it's not been 2 years. I mean, it's part, yes, Project 2025 has laid out the plan. And we've been talking about it since last year. But there's a guy next to Donald Trump who's been talking about this for over a decade, and that is Stephen Miller.
Absolutely.
He goes to bed every night praying to the God of immigration, whatever that may be, saying, please let this plan go through. Because he wants nothing more than, I believe, a white ethnostate, but whatever. But he wants immigrants out so bad in this country that this has been all he's been working on and just spitting the most vitriolic venom bile at people about immigrants, lying about it, that once now that it is in place, now they've gotten their way because they're not just getting rid of the criminals, which is, by the way, you would think they would talk about that. They would say like, hey, we got rid of like.
Absolutely.
Today, where's
your wins? Yeah. Where are the big wins?
Yeah. They think anything's a win until we say, but this person's here legally. Why are you doing this? And then they get all, oh, and now we have President Taco here caving in again, saying, well, the farmers and the hospitality industry and the leisure people, if you pick a vegetable and you go to a hotel, we need to make sure. Now you care about farmers. Now you care about these people. What's going on?
Well, and again, I go back to this never crossed anybody's mind when they were talking about mass deportations, that this would affect the economy of America's farmers, America's restaurants. That it's yet another sign to me of the massive incompetence.
Yeah.
Of this administration to think about ramifications, to think about consequences when you do these things. And it's interesting that you brought up why the administration is not touting all of these horrible criminals that they have been arresting. The Representative Tony Gonzalez, the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Conference, they have numerous Republicans on this panel. They have actually sent a letter to immigration asking for specifics. Of the 100,000 individuals who have been deported since January, how many are convicted criminals? Please give us a breakdown of their criminal offenses by category. Of those 100,000 people, how many are from ICE's docket from last year? Of those 100,000 people, how many have ties to criminal groups, organizations, or gangs like Tren de Agua, which was the Argentinian gang that got referenced so often? What obstacles have you faced in repatriating those individuals? What resources do you require from Congress to improve these actions? What policies from Congress would help you in pursuing convicted criminal aliens? But again, we have Republicans in Congress who are going to immigration saying, where's the proof that of these 100,000 people that have been deported since the beginning of January, that they're criminals?
Show your work. And I don't usually do this, but before the show went on, somebody texted about this topic. I'm assuming that Pat was also discussing this matter. And of all the things they said, one thing that really stuck out to me, they said, why even bother having a process for residency and citizenship at all if this is your opinion being that we as a show or as a network or as the libs think that people should be able to walk in the country and stay forever and that's it. Nope. But that's not the thing. None of us believe you should be able to just walk in the country without going through the process. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. I personally, I'll speak for myself. If you come to this country and you want to stay, there's a process, and we have a process for residency and citizenship. The problem is, to this person who texted in, is that we're snatching up people who are abiding by that process.
The midst of the process.
We are arresting and deporting people who are doing exactly what you want them to do, and now that they're gone, you have nothing to say. Well, they must have been a criminal. Well, then show me their rap sheet. Well, they must have done something wrong. Then tell me what that was. But if they're going to court to go in front of an immigration judge to do what they're supposed to do, and it's a trap, then this process was never really – I shouldn't say that. The process is real. Your desire for them to follow the rules, quote unquote, was never real to begin with, because now that they're doing it, you don't even like that, which just says you don't like these people and you don't want them here.
Well, whether or not anything is going to be done about this seems unlikely. Tom Homan, who is the border's czar, told the Washington Post he has not discussed with the president any changes to protect farm or hotel workers, and he has not been part of creating any policy to protect certain types of workers. Quote, I have not seen any instruction, anything that changes in the near future.
MyVote.WI.gov. Call up your congressmen and your senators. Tell them how you feel about this. If they think they're going to do a good job, whatever. But if you don't, tell them exactly what you're feeling, because if they don't hear from you, they don't know that they might be voting for things you oppose for, especially those guys up north.
Senator Alex Padilla from California in the news will explain why on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the Board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor joining us after 10 o'clock to talk about his latest column, getting some traction, about whether or not Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term as governor in Wisconsin. That's coming up after 10 o'clock. Right now, though, if you joined us at the top of the show, we were talking about President Trump yesterday saying, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize we were snatching people from farms and businesses and hotels with, immigrant workers that they need. So he says, we're going to do something about that. Tom Homan, the border czar, says, we're not going to do anything about that.
Yeah.
And this goes back to one of my main gripes about this administration is I think they are massively incompetent.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
I think the lack of foresight about what these mass deportations now are going to do to various industries across, this never crossed anybody's mind.
Yeah.
Up to this point, that this might affect some industries in the U.S. is mind-boggling to me.
Well, because every time, they sort of have, if you remember the responses to these questions. I mean, I'm even thinking of someone like Howard Lutnick in front of Congressman Dean, where we were talking about, like, you know, there's always a, we can do it here instead. Get Americans to do it. Build it here. Grow it here.
Right, right.
Manufacture here.
Right.
Get Americans to work in the
farm.
We're
gonna make bananas.
People to work in the hotels. That's fine. Just do it in America. America, America, America. That's the solve. That's always the solve. It's never, and that is such a brain dead version of isolationism where they think that America is the fix. When
America alone,
when we are a country, we're a country of immigrants here on very, very not our land. Sorry to get a little political there, but also we are a country built on partnerships. We have never thrived in isolationism. We have thrived in partnerships. And to just say, well, we don't need immigrants here. We'll get young kids to do the work. They're not doing it. We'll get auto workers to build iPhones in America. That's not going to happen. So every time you confront them with logical reasoning, with very simple questions, honestly, like you were reading before, this 100,000, show us how these individuals are criminals.
What are they accused of? What are the crimes? Let's see it. Lay it out.
They're not going to answer. And Howard and Thomas Holman's like, no, we're going to keep going.
Yeah, he said, I've heard nothing about this. And again, this just goes back to what I think. I think they are massively incompetent, mm-hmm. as evidenced by this from the Washington Post. The Trump administration races to fix a big mistake. Doge fired too many people.
Womp, womp.
Across the government, officials are rehiring federal workers who were forced out or encouraged to resign. The FDA in spring fired almost 50 workers in the Office of Regulatory Policy, only to turn around and order them back into the office in a day.
Yep.
In one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops. Oops. Who runs a business like this, much less a country?
Jane, you know who runs a business like this? A guy who bankrupted casinos.
Oh, there's that.
You know, that's just what I'll say to that. But, you know, it's the notion of we've lived with this notion. And I think a lot of us have bought it. And I think there are some truths to it, that bureaucracy is slow. It costs a lot of money and government can get nothing done. Well, what we're seeing from Doge, and specifically a person who used to work for Doge coming out and saying it, is that the government actually runs fairly efficient. It's not perfect, but it's not the swampy cesspool that we've been led to believe,
absolutely.
At least for the past 10 years with the whole drain the swamp junk.
This from NPR, former Doge engineer says federal waste and fraud were relatively non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was working for Doge. Savia Lavingia told NPR, I was personally pretty surprised, actually, at how efficient the government was. He said the overall message of Doge was a vibe of ask for forgiveness, not permission.
And that right there,
Jane? So just go and do it.
Yes. That right there
first
is the answer to the question you've been asking with regard to why did they not have foresight? I don't think they cared about foresight. They wanted forgiveness because this is also a society that with at least with Trump, when he screws up, and he says, well, we'll fix it with the farmers and the hotel people. People are going to say, oh, well then, okay, cool.
Now it's done.
So all they do is ask for forgiveness.
Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Gene, we got about 90 seconds before we got to go to the news. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
I just want to remind people that Trump hired these kind of people the first time he was in. They hired Carl Icahn, who was a corporate raider who almost shut down Uniroyal for the workers' pensions years ago. And I saw him in that office. Yep. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye. Appreciate it, Gene. You cut out there a little bit, but thank you.
Yeah.
Always appreciate from hearing from you. You can always join us as well at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you are watching on the live stream. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, Senator Alex Padilla from California, a little run-in yesterday during a press conference with Kristi Noem. Mm-hmm. We will kick that around on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Joining us after the 10 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan out with a new column this week on whether or not Governor Evers here in Wisconsin should run for a third term. Should be a very interesting discussion. You are more than welcome to take part. That is coming up after 10 o'clock. And just a reminder, too, we got some baseball action coming up later on today. The Brewers hosting the Cardinals. Our broadcast starts at 6:35. You can catch the game tonight on terrestrial radio, on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. They have Lumberjacks next month.
They do.
So be listening to the crew host the Cardinals. Our broadcast starts on those stations at 6:35.
Can you hear that, Jane? It's the sound of the Brewers going to second place in the division. Huh? Or second place in the in their division. Whoa, that sounds great.
That does sound great.
Oh, that's a wonderful sound. Let's keep it going, boys.
You're very excited about
that. Very excited.
And Nuke, I'm going to call him Nuke now, the new kid on the mound for the Brewers.
The Miz. That's his nickname, the Miz. Mizorowski.
Nuke is better. He had a good showing, but then they had to pull him out. Mm-hmm. He had a no hitter going.
Yeah, he did. And that's what we always, when there's always a no hitter, we're like, hey, let's stop this.
Yeah, pretty exciting. So go crew, hosting the Cardinals later on today. Our broadcast starts at 6:35. Did want to spend a little time on this, and I'm curious to hear your comments. Again, at 855-752-4842. This from the Washington Post. Democratic senator forcibly removed from DHS news conference as tensions flare. I was scrolling. I was home doing some work yesterday afternoon when this came across. It looked really bad.
Yeah, this was all across the
news. The visual was not good.
No, I mean, visually looks awful. But I think that they don't care, you know.
I'll give you that.
You know, because I mean, we're going to listen to him talk about it, but it was all across the news. And it was everywhere. Every station was carrying it. And it was just this image of a U.S. senator being forcibly
shoved
and thrown to the ground and detained and handcuffed for asking questions. You know, and they're going to paint the narrative. They're going to paint the narrative that he rushed
the podium.
Yeah. There's once again, no proof, none whatsoever.
Well, and after he was cuffed.
Yep.
He met with Kristi Noem for like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there was also Corey Lewandowski, who was a big part of the first Trump administration, who apparently follows Kristi Noem around like a puppy now. But he was running down the hall saying, do not do this. This is a sitting U.S. senator.
Corey was. Wow.
Yeah.
They're probably going to fire him for having such, you know,
right?
Vision and
we do have a clip from Senator Alex Padilla, again, from California, after yesterday's incident. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
So here's what happened. So I'm in the conference room a couple doors down waiting this briefing with representatives of Northern Command. We learn almost on the spot that there's this press conference going on down the hall. Now my briefing is delayed because of the folks in that press conference. From the moment I entered the building, I'm being escorted by a member of the National Guard and an FBI agent. I asked, well, since we're waiting, can we go listen in to the press conference? They escort me over to the press conference. They open the door for me. I'm standing in the back, behind the reporters, behind the cameras, just listening in. And at one point, the rhetoric the rhetoric just got to be too much. Not the first time, but the second time the secretary takes it upon herself to say that the Trump administration wants to liberate the people of Los Angeles from the governor and the mayor. It was just too much. And so, yes, I said who I was. I began to ask a question, and it was maybe half a second later before there was multiple agents on me. They shoved me outside. I was trying to both get my question out and not lose my balance. You know, one is telling me, get down on my knees. Another one's pushing me in a different direction. There was no resistance. And to the contrary, I kept asking, why am I being detained? Get down on your knees turns into flat on the floor. I'm trying, but I'm being pushed and pulled in different directions. I'm finally down on the floor. They handcuff me multiple times. Why am I being detained? No response, no response, no response. Finally, minutes later, I guess somebody around the secretary realizes this is the United States Senator. And they come running down the hall and finally say, let him go. Again, the point is, if it can happen to me in that setting, imagine what they're doing to people all around the country. And Aaron, let me also underscore this. Yeah. It's not just about immigrants' rights, which so many peaceful protesters are shouting about in Los Angeles. It's about all of our rights.
It's about all of our rights. That's Senator Alex Padilla speaking to the media after he was at Kristi Noem's press conference yesterday, wanted to ask a question, says he identified himself, at which point, I think they were Homeland Security.
I saw FBI,
or was
too.
It FBI as well? Shoved him out of the room, got him down on the ground, cuffed him.
Yep.
And then, as you just heard, someone apparently said, yeah, don't do that. It's a sitting U.S. senator.
Yeah.
And then he met with Kristi Noem for about 15 minutes, apparently, after this happened. But I think that's a really good point that he makes. If they can treat a sitting U.S. senator like this in public, on camera, what are they doing when they're not in those conditions? Well, how are they treating people when they're not being surveilled?
Well, let's just look at what's been happening. I mean, we see ICE agents walking in unidentified, wearing masks, arresting people willy-nilly, throwing them in jail, deporting them. We see, because the thing, and when I want to believe, and I do believe, that when Senator Padilla says, if this can happen to me as a senator, it can happen to all of us, he's not talking about all of the people who voted for Kamala Harris. He's talking about every citizen in this country.
Absolutely.
And as we have put out many, many times on this show, there comes a time when you're not good enough for them, when you are just expendable, you're not patriotic enough.
They'll you're not come, loyal enough.
They'll come knocking on your door. And you will not have the luxury of someone standing over you going, don't do this. They are a U.S. senator or a congressman or a judge. Or, I mean, I see videos of FBI agents undercover getting arrested by cops, and they're saying to them, I'm an FBI agent, and they have to pull the wallet out and get identified. That's after they're in cuffs and they've treated them like garbage. Like, this is happening all the time on the streets. And if it can happen to FBI agents, if it can happen to a U.S. senator, it can happen to any one of us. And there will not be a person shouting, hey, Jane's innocent. She's just here. She was just getting, you know, like,
she was just asking a question.
She was just, or she was just walking down the street and she wanted to get some groceries. Like, it's literally like, we don't have those advocates next to us. And even if we did have someone who says, because we also see videos where people say, hey, they're not involved. They're innocent. They're this, they're that. The authorities don't care.
855-752-4842. Curious to get your reactions to what happened yesterday with California Senator Alex Padilla. Tony on the live stream says, which side likes these optics more? Dems getting to clearly show the overreach of Trump, or does Trump like looking like a strongman? Well, he certainly loves looking like a strongman.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that.
I've seen the AI imagery that's generated that he posts himself. This is all about looking USA strong, beating the chest and being all freedomly freedom. And
I think Senator Padilla brought up a really good point as well, in that Kristi Noem is trying to go in there saying, we are rescuing Los Angeles. The governor, the attorney general, the chief of police, the mayor, none of them have requested this additional help from the federal government. The federal government has decided this is what they're going to do. What happened to states' rights?
Oh, they love states' rights until they don't. Until they don't. I mean, just as a side example, they love the individuality and of the states and the communities and the municipalities too. I've been thinking about Wisconsin here. They love to not be in the way until they want to be in your way. And then they're gonna tell you, well, you need to do this. You need to spend money on this. We're gonna send troops your way because, you know, we don't like these people trying to express themselves, bound by the constitutional rights to do so.
Alex Padilla, again yesterday, taken to the ground.
Yeah.
Trying to ask Department of Human Services Kristi Noem a question during a presser. She was holding a presser.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump administration has encouraged federal authorities to exert power over protesters in L.A. The Trump administration says they're rescuing Los Angeles, even though Los Angeles hasn't asked for a rescue.
Didn't someone use the term liberating? I feel like someone
I think she said liberating.
Yeah. Kristi Noem did. Steve on the text line says, talk about how Trump is taking us back 100 years, attacking civil rights, stealing from Americans, and doing impeachable things with Doge cuts and breaking the emoluments clause. There needs to be more pressure on these Republicans in Congress. They're actively dismantling the republic. They better get some spine soon, or we, the people, won't have a republic. And there is truth to that. And let's also... this isn't a squirrel. This isn't a distraction, but it sort of is too. People protesting is important. People showing up and assembling and speaking their voices that is protected by this Constitution is important. But the sending of National Guards to Los Angeles, to a small portion of Los Angeles.
A very small portion, actually.
The governor of Texas deploying 5,000 troops throughout the state to protect the way that Florida is talking about this. This is all to distract from the fact that they are gutting Medicaid, gutting Social Security, gutting Medicare, gutting SNAP, taking from us, getting rid of. They're going to raise our taxes like they did, and they're going to walk away with humongous tax breaks. Millionaires and billionaires are going to do that. They're doing this. They're doing all of this stuff and saying it's about America while they are stealing from your pockets, your children's pockets, your grandchildren's pockets. That's the important part to remember, too.
And we have a comment on the live stream that seems to go along with what you're saying. D.D. Coogie says, this is a huge problem. I think Trump just wants to get his big, disgusting bill passed in the Senate.
Yep.
This will allow him to get away with all of the stuff he is pushing on U.S. immigrants. He will go after U.S. citizens next.
Absolutely. Yes. And Oh, my God. I apologize for my spiciness right now because I feel like I'm one step away from tinfoil hatting this thing. But the way they are leading this game right now, that is what it feels like, because they are slowly gutting freedoms that we never messed with even 10 years ago.
Well, and we don't have time to get into this. We'll probably do it next week. The whole masking issue.
Yeah.
Now they're saying protesters cannot wear masks. But ICE is perfectly justified in being masked. Mm-hmm. So are we teaching our little kids now that if a white unmarked van drives up and someone in a mask and a flannel shirt says, I'm with the federal government, get in my van. Is that what we're teaching kids now?
Well, I mean, we're certainly not teaching them accountability. That's for sure. Because when we ask these questions, Jane, why are you masked? Why aren't you identifying yourself? We get no answer. We're told to shut up, and this is what we do, and this is how we work. No, that's not how this works, because there'll be no one left.
You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter Friday. That means Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. He is going to be in studio with us after the 10 o'clock news to talk about his latest column, getting some attention, talking about whether or not Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term here in Wisconsin. So I hope you can stick around for that when Dan joins us. Also, a reminder, today is our last day for the statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. After 11 o'clock, listen for the keyword. You want to text it in using the Civic Media app. Up for grabs, either $100 in hot cash. Or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. And then everyone is in the running for one of two grand prizes, either a getaway to Door County or Baraboo, and gas money to get you there. So be listening after 11 o'clock for that keyword and get ready to text in and win, just like Cheryl and Muscadet. Listening on WRCO.
A lot of winners in Muscadet.
Yes.
Like, it's a hotbed of winners.
And also Park Falls, too.
Yeah.
Lots of winners in Park Falls. And Chris from Edgerton, listening on WMDX. Congratulations. You could be a winner as well. Be ready after 11 o'clock. Going to spend just a little bit of time on this before we go to the news. And we did spend a little time on it yesterday, but it still makes me laugh. Republicans... This is the headline from MSNBC. Republicans struggle to defend Trump's parade as tanks roll in to D.C. Many GOP officials appear to have no idea what to say about the president's parade, and some won't be there either. Most of the Republicans in Congress are not going to his big ego parade tomorrow.
His birthday party. He's throwing himself a birthday party.
A birthday party, which just happens to coincide with the 250th birthday of the Army. Yeah. We pointed this out before. The Navy's got their 250th anniversary coming up in fall. So do the Marines.
Marines are turning 227 this year.
I have not seen anything about birthday parties planned for them. This one, which coincides with the president's 79th birthday.
Is he only 79? I thought he was turning like 200. God, he seems so old. I mean, I am really surprised that they're not being told they have to attend or else.
I am too.
But it really, there's also no like real good reasons either. Like, I got to catch up on the show Poker Face. I got a Peacock for the 7-day trial and I can only get... So I can't.
Don't you wonder what their excuses were, though?
Oh, my gosh.
Glenn Grothman, you're too busy.
There's a pancake breakfast that needs to be pancaked. Derek Van Orden has kids he has to yell at.
Derek Van Orden, of all people, you would think would be there.
He's too busy keeping us up to speed on what's going overseas in Israel and Iran. He's
all over that.
Ooh, there's tweeting about. It's like so hot and fresh. It's like just smoke coming off that phone.
But you may want to call your local Republican representative.
How would they do that?
You go to myvote.wi.gov.
Nice.
Ask them, gosh, if we're going to shell out at least $45 million for this vanity exercise tomorrow, you'd think they'd have the courtesy to show up.
Yeah.
Even Ron Johnson, Wisconsin senior senator, said, well, you know, it's their 250th birthday. I guess it's kind of a splurge. Ask our Republican representatives about this little $45 million splurge when we're talking about kicking people off Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, and we can't afford to feed kids, so we got to cut SNAP. But $45 million for this is a good use of American money.
Do you know, I would say this, if they were saying, we're going to throw a parade on Saturday, it's going to cost $45 million because we're going to announce that day that we're going to spend $10 billion over 10 years to help veterans, I'd be like, all right, let's celebrate that.
Yeah, wouldn't that $45 million be better spent actually doing something directly for our veterans?
Absolutely, because something is better than nothing, and that's exactly what they're doing for them. And not only that, they're making it worse by gutting access to the VA. I mean, I've heard, Derek Van Orden said he looks forward to the cuts proposed to the VA, whether it's cutting it completely or just the cuts, but he said to someone in a hearing that he looks forward to the cuts. Now, just because you're a vet doesn't mean that you automatically love the VA. I know vets
there
who
are vets
do
who
not
have
like
it, nothing. The VA is not perfect.
No, it's not. But I think the reason why it's not perfect is because we don't properly invest in it. So, yeah, $45 million on Saturday to watch the troops up, march up and down the street.
And rip up the streets of D.C.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I want 3 months. I want a report showing how much it actually costs.
It's going to be more than $45 million. Yeah. John from Oshkosh listening on WISS says, so much for the appropriation of government spending. Who approved this? Good question, John. Mm-hmm. That's a very valid question. And I think the one big takeaway from this is that the major networks are not carrying this.
Nope. Not even Fox. Not even Fox, the network. Not the news. I'm sure the news station will have it in Fox News, but Fox itself as a network will not have it. And I want to make a point on this, too. This is something he wanted to do in his first term.
Yes.
And if you want an example on how there are no guardrails, it's this right here. Because when he got in office the first time, the generals, the military, the Pentagon said, no, we're not doing this. This is a waste of resources, a waste of time. No. Now it's happening because there are no guardrails. The generals are silent because they're afraid for their jobs.
Or they removed them already.
Exactly. So, yeah, this is a perfect example on why guardrails and checks and balances matter.
And I think there's going to be a whole lot more attention tomorrow on all of the other protests that are happening around the country as opposed to what's going to be rolling down the streets in D.C.
And there's a 45% chance of rain in D.C.
Oh, that would be a real shame. News is coming up next, and then Dan Schaefer will be here to help us recombobulate. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.